The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Today's podcast contains and is based on most, but not all, of Book 2, Chapter 9, which is on the loss of all comfort. It's about the comfortable lives that we often choose over service to God. I find it challenging and encouraging, and so let us begin right now. In Philippians 4, we read this: I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing, or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's an appropriate scripture for us to read before we read this meditation. We'll be reading the words of the disciple. As you've noticed, many of the chapters include words of Christ back to us, or there's an alternation in dialogue, but this is simply the meditation of the disciple. It is not hard to despise human comfort when God is present, but it is a great thing, a very great thing, to be able to bear the loss of both human and divine comfort, and, for the love of God, to willingly seek no comfort or to feel no righteousness. It's not a great matter if we are faithful and cheerful when blessings come our way. We can all rejoice then. We ride high when the grace of God carries us. And how marvelous to feel no burden, but to be carried by the Almighty and led onward by the Spirit from on high. We are willing to trade anything for comfort, and it is difficult for people to be freed from themselves. Well, as A. Kempis points out here, it's no great virtue if we're cheerful when things are going well. We can actually mistake things going well for, well, a genuine relationship with God. He doesn't put it quite that way, but I think he would agree. People say God is good when things are going well, but when they've lost everything, how many people are like Job who can conclude, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord? I mentioned Job because that's what I'm studying right now in my morning devotions. Well, the next section we're going to skip over, but he gives an example of a couple of martyrs in the early church. One is one of the leaders of Rome called Sixtus, and the other is Lauritz. Fascinating stories, but we'll leave that out in this podcast. Let's continue. We must strive hard and long against ourselves to give ourselves completely to God and to direct all our love toward God. It is too easy for people to depend solely on other people. But a true lover of Christ and a diligent seeker after righteousness does not fall back upon human comforts nor earthly pleasures that can be touched and tasted. The Christ follower desires hard discipline and severe labor to become like his master. When spiritual comfort is given by God, let us receive it with thanks and realize it is the gift of God, not our own handiwork. We must not be proud, selfishly rejoice, or foolishly credit ourselves, but humbly receive comfort as a gift and be cautious and careful in all we do. For this time of rejoicing will pass away, and temptation will follow. When comfort is taken from us, don't immediately despair, but wait with humility and patience for Christ's heavenly presence. God is able to give us back even greater favor and comfort. This is not new nor strange to those who have faced trial on God's path. For the great saints and ancient prophets were transformed through trials. A. Kempis is pointing out what our experience is like as we follow the Lord over a period of time. There always will be trials, and these can improve us. Let's not let our suffering be wasted. And of course, the New Testament has the same teaching as, for example, Romans 5 and Romans 8, how suffering is a key part of being transformed into the likeness of Christ. We continue. The psalmist writes, "When I was prosperous, I said, 'Nothing can stop me now. Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain.'" He goes on to write what he felt when the favor departed. "Then you turned away from me, and I was shattered. I cried out to you, O Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy." When God heard his prayer and had mercy on the psalmist, he testified, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." If it was so with the great, holy people, we who are poor don't need to despair if we are sometimes warm and sometimes in the cold. The Spirit comes and goes according to the good pleasure of his will. Even the righteous Job said, "For you examine us every morning and test us every moment." On what can we hope and in what can we trust except in the great mercy of God and the hope of heavenly grace? There is little help in good people, faithful friends, holy books, inspiring messages, or sweet hymns and songs when we feel deserted by God's favor and left to our own poverty. There is no better remedy than patience, denial of self, and obeying his commandments. Now, the next thing that Akempis shares, I want us to particularly focus on. Of all the nourishing thoughts in this chapter, this is the one resonated most with me. He says, "I have never found any people so religious and godly that they haven't felt a withdrawal of divine favor and lack of passion. No saints were ever so filled with ecstasy or so enlightened, but that sooner or later they were tempted." Now, we'll conclude the chapter in just a moment. But this is a precious thought. Doesn't matter how well you're doing spiritually. There are times when you may lack passion, or there may be temptation, or you may feel, as he puts it, a withdrawal of divine favor. Like, doesn't feel like God's with me. And I'm sure that all of you listening to these words have had times in your life when you've been on top of the world. You've been so thrilled with God's presence in your life. But he says that no one is exempt from tough times. We mustn't allow ourselves to lose faith or perspective just because we're going through hard times. Yes, in my life, there have been plenty of hard times. And it's easy for me, as for you, to feel, oh, maybe the Lord is not looking upon me with favor. We know what it's like to lose a sibling, to become severely disillusioned with persons that we have respected. We know what it's like to face severe medical issues, to lose a child. My wife and I share in a series that's at my website about the ups and downs and what it's been like for us since the beginning of our walk with God. The series is called Grace and Ungrace, 1, 2, 3. That's three different podcasts. The notes of this lesson contain links straight to those lessons if you would like to listen to them. I hope that some of you will. We share very openly. So let me back up and reread those last two sentences as we conclude. "I've never found any people so religious and godly that they haven't felt a withdrawal of divine favor and lack of passion. No saints were ever so filled with ecstasy or enlightened, but that sooner or later they were tempted. For one is not worthy of the great vision of God who has not been tested by some temptation. For temptation often precedes divine comfort, which will follow. For it is promised to those who prove faithful by temptation, 'To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life and the paradise of God.' Divine comfort is given so that a person may be stronger to bear hardship. And temptation follows so we will not become proud in the blessings of God. The devil does not sleep. Your physical desires are not yet dead. So, always be ready for battle, because enemies stand on your right and left, and they are never at rest." Wow, that's powerful stuff. And the application for us? Well, first, again, let's not lose faith or perspective just because times are tough. Secondly, this is similar to the first, but it's an extension of it. Let's not allow ourselves to lose faith or perspective just because those tough times are long, extended. They just keep going, and we may begin to feel despair. That is, we shouldn't be led by our emotions. We should be led by reason and led by the Word of God. Finally, if we have any pretensions, let's give those up. Let's not pretend to our brothers and sisters in the church that we have somehow reached the pinnacle of righteousness without any struggle, without any pain. Everything is smooth. And certainly let's not portray ourselves to the world, to those we're sharing our lives with, because we make them think that as Christians, we are somehow beyond temptation or hardship, or even that we never feel a kind of withdrawal of divine favor. Well, then they may despair of ever becoming Christians. They'll feel, I just don't think I can do that. I've said it a number of times. A Kempis is very realistic in his faith. It's very practical. And that's why we have much to learn from him. Well, next time, the topic is on bearing injustices. Now, when we're wronged, how do we behave? What should we do? On bearing injustices will be tomorrow's meditation. Thank you so much for listening.